still in James chapter 1, and verse 15 really. Then when lust is conceived, it brings forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bring forth death. Okay? Now first of all, we see there it says that when lust has conceived, it brings forth. And then we have a second forth, haven't we? But they're both different. Okay? So what it means is when lust is conceived, it brings forth. In other words, it is when lust gives birth to sin. That is what it is saying, right? So when lust is conceived, it will bring forth sin. It gives birth to sin, right? And so often people don't realize that when they lust after something, it actually can give birth to sin. You know, the word tells us to sin not. You know, so it's important. And then when we go on, it says, and sin, when it is finished, when it has come to its fullness, right, brings forth death. Okay, what that bringing forth, what does that mean? Well, that bringing forth actually means, it means to be, to give birth. Right, so when sin has finished, it gives birth to death. Wow, that is powerful, isn't it? When you hear it like that, when we see and listen and we say, when sin has finished, when it's had its way with us, the next thing it does, it brings forth, it gives birth to death. Wow, that is powerful. In other words, it brings forth to an early death. So often, people get into sin, get into ways, and it can bring on to people an early death. Take, for instance, people can get involved in drugs. And we know full well that that sinful, that lust for those things that then takes over and then begins to drive them, and then suddenly that which is now taking control of them brings to birth death, an early death. Now, you know, God has birthed us to live a full life, to live a life to the full, to live a life with an abundance, to live a life that is pleasing to God. And a life that is pleasing to God is that, as we said earlier on, to him that winneth souls is wise. And God delights in salvation. You know, this is what God wants and what God is calling each and every one of us to be involved in. So, that's just something deeper in that. So, this bringing forth, it's being pregnant, giving birth, like a woman that's pregnant and suddenly she gives birth. What does she give birth to? Well, in this situation, that word is using giving birth to an early death. And God did not create us to die. That is a fact. You know, and we need to realize that. So, and I hear Christians, you know, saying, oh, well, you know, 70 years and 10, and then after that, it's going to be a struggle. A lot of rubbish. After the flood, allotted man for 120 years. Praise God. So you're okay. You can move 40 to go. Amen. You know. Amen. Come on, you see. And, yeah, take Joshua and Caleb. Moses. He started at 80. Big job. He started at 80. I'm still getting started. You're starting. This lot, well, they're in training. Praise God. You know. So keep doing that. Keep your training going, because soon God's going to get you ready to get started. You know, and the thing that is coming to us are great things. I believe it. I believe there's a presence and the power of God. The nations are rising up against the Christian faith. The nations are vomiting garbage at this time. And the Bible says, as in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, so shall it be. It's all right. It's fine. Because the darker it gets, the brighter the light will shine. The brighter the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ will come. But you see, we need to know our faith. We need to know how to teach the word. We need to know what to stand on. And we need to be able to explain to people that if you have a lust, you will bring forth death into your lives. An early death. You bring it. First of all, the lust, to some degree, in small quotes, someone says, lust to a measure might be okay, depending on what you're lusting for. But if you're not careful, you lust for the wrong things, it can bring forth, it will cause you to sin, and then sin will then cause you to become pregnant and birth death. I mean, we lust for souls, don't we? We long that souls will be saved. It's a good lust, that. But we need, you know. But there are other lusts that will bring forth, cause us to sin, and then that sin will cause us to become pregnant and bring forth death into our own lives. James is teaching in the early church, saying, come on, look what you're doing. Look at what you're saying. So verse 16 says, don't err, my beloved brethren. In other words, don't drift away. Keep your focus. Keep your eyes fixed firmly on the Christ, the risen one, the glorified, ascended one, him who came to seek and to save that which was lost, and who conquered sin, the death, and the grave, and on the third day rose again. Keep your eyes on him. Don't drift. If you stop paddling, if you stop pressing in, you'll start to drift. There's only one way. You start going backwards. We're paddling against the stream of society. You know, we're paddling upstream all the time. We're going against the way of the world. And if you stop paddling, do you know what happens? You start going back with them. You cannot stop. If you've started this journey, there's no stopping. You have to keep going, pressing in, pushing forward, pushing forward. It is the only way you will make the progress. It is only the only way where we will become victorious. And so don't look at the things on the side and think, oh, that looks great, you know, we'll have a rest here. No, keep your eye fixed on him, on that final goal, on that final destiny. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. You know, and there will be joy and there will be pleasures along the journey. That's a certainty, because God loves us and God wants to pour out his blessings on us. But our focus should first be him, and always be him. And I know I'll keep saying this, and people don't like me for saying it. And I know they don't, because it means that they can't wriggle. And that is Christ-centered. And if you've got something else that comes before Christ, then you've got it wrong. Keep it simple, stupid, really. And so people just seem to think, oh, well, you're being bigoted, or you're being super religious. No, I'm not. The fact of the matter is that Christ has to come first. And with Christ first, everything will be sorted out. Each step, every journey, every morning, God will be there. God is already in tomorrow. God has already planned tomorrow. Tomorrow is already sorted out. Thank God for that. I don't have to worry about it. You see, because God is, if you keep Christ centered, then tomorrow's sorted. That means you can relax and you can enjoy today, knowing that tomorrow is a good day. And if there are troubles in tomorrow, it means that he's already given you the strength to go through them troubles, because he is equipping you, preparing you, and making you strong. Because God is not bringing to birth an insipid, weak, futile church. He's bringing a church forward that will stand its ground, that will stand for the truth, that will stand for the word of God, and that will speak the truth and will declare the name of Jesus to be the only way to God. I was hearing on the news today, and no, it wasn't. It was a program on TV, and it was all about the lesbians and gays and their rights, etc. And I'm like, what are nations coming to? God does not hate these people. It is the sin that God hates. And we have to realize that. God loves them. You know, they're part of His creation that has gone adrift and adry into a dry place. But God loves them. And for us, it's good to carry that message that we've got written up at the back of the church here, at the front. God is love. God loves them. And they need to hear that. Verse 17. Every good gift, every perfect gift. You see, there's two things there. Every good gift, every perfect gift is from above. Praise God. Thank God that He's a God that brings good gifts to us. And so every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variable, neither shadow of turning. Praise His wonderful name. You and I have to realize that God so loved us, so really cares for us, that He wants to reveal Himself to each and every one of us. He wants to open our eyes. He wants to open our spirits that we might partake of the living God. So when it says good, it means that God is a benevolent God. He's a God who wants to give to us, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. That is our God. That is what He wants to do in our lives. And we need to realize that. It is so important that we have to realize that God wants to bless the people. That God wants to have an input into a person's life. God wants to be part of who they are and what they are. Amen? Verse 18. Of His own will He begat us with His word of truth, that we should be kind of first fruits of His creatures. I want to just dig into that again a little bit more for you. Okay. So, of His own will, He's there. It says, He begat. In other words, God brought us to birth. That's what that word means. That begat in the Hebrew means that, sorry, in the Greek means that God actually brought us to birth. That's what God did. He brought us to birth with His word, and we know that He spoke the word and the worlds came into being. Right? And in the same way, Jesus follows the same pattern. He spoke the word and people were healed. Nothing's changed, right? And so that was happening in the very beginning in Genesis 1 happened in the time of Jesus as He walked the earth. And guess what? It's still happening today, or should be still happening today within the church, that we speak the word of life and of truth and of healing, and people are healed, saved, and delivered. It is a principle of and a pattern of the word of God. And that's what we should be on. There's no other way. Don't come up with another formula. Because it's already in the book. It's already there. And so all that we have to do is to believe it, to act upon it, and we will see things happen. We will see that the Father of lights will cause these things to happen because we are speaking His word through our mouths. And we stand there in faith with God and see this happen and believe God for these things to come to pass. Of His own will, He gave birth to us. Wow. God was pregnant with us. Hundreds of thousands of millions of years ago, God was pregnant with you and me. That's the thought, isn't it? Hey? I've never thought of it like that. But God, all that time, had you and me. It was in him. It was his desire to see you and me come to a fulfillment, to appear on the scene. And by his word, and the truth of his word, that we will be the first fruit. Hallelujah. The truth that he is by his word, which is the spoken word of the truth being a revealed reality. That's what the truth is. This is what the meaning of truth is, that we and the things of God are a revealed reality. We're not something that might happen in the future, not maybe, not a might be. We are the actual, and it is going to happen. We're the revealed truth of God, working out his fullness and blessings into the lives of others. And he says, and that we would be a kind of first fruit. What does that mean? What it really means is that Jesus was actually the first fruit. There was nobody like Jesus. Now then, he was the Son of Man, but he was also the Son of God. He died on a cross. On the third day, he rose again to live eternally. You know something? Nobody else has done that. We know Jairus' daughter was dead and she was raised from the dead. We know Lazarus was raised from the dead, but guess what? He died the natural death later. But Jesus, once he was risen from the dead on that third day, was to live forever and forever and forever. He was a new creature. He was a new creation. He was different to what anything else had ever been created. And do you know something? When we get saved, come on, we should be that new creature. Be exactly like the Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation is a miracle. It is a changing from this world, and it is a changing into the form and shape of the Lord Jesus Christ, made in his image. Now that does not mean that we're all going to look the same, but actually the same pattern, the same, for want of a better word in today's understanding, the same DNA that raised Christ Jesus from the dead, that formed Christ Jesus from the dead, is now resident within each and every one of us. We have the same DNA. This is what James is talking about. You have got the same DNA as Jesus Christ. Oh, this is exciting. This is exciting. Come on. That DNA, that we are to be like Christ, that we are a new creation. We are a new creature. There is nothing ever been like us until Jesus came in on the scene. Hallelujah. This is what God intended. This was God's purpose. He created as a new creature to build and to plant a new colony. A new colony. Think about that one. You know, they talk about going to the stars and, planting a colony on the stars. They're on about Mars, weren't they, the last time? So they've been going to Mars and a new colony. Yeah, well, guess what? There's a new colony right now down here. It's called the Church of Jesus Christ. Come on. The Church of Jesus Christ. That's who it is. Hallelujah. Praise his wonderful name. Verse 19, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear and slow to speak, slow to wrath. I need to listen to that one, I'll be honest. You know, it's a bit of the prophetic ministry that operates in me, that sometimes the sword comes out, I whip it out and go, and then it's like, sorry about that. It just needs a touch of mercy and a bit of love that goes with it, but you know, I'm still working on it. Please forgive me if it happens. You know, I love you really, but I just feel like saying, you know, I say time's getting shorter. You know, my clock is ticking. right? And I don't have time to mess around. As far as I'm concerned, I need to see people being changed from glory to glory. I need to see people coming from sin and degradation to finding Christ and finding Him in a powerful way that will change lives of many other people that they come into contact with. So, yeah. So, it says there, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man, take note of that, it's man, not an animal, be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Hallelujah. What righteousness are we talking about here? It is being in right standing. You know, this righteousness of God, it is about, literally, it's referring to like the diaconate within the church. That actually sets out the standards of God and says, we need to adhere to this. We need to be doing this because this is the standard that Jesus Christ has set before us. And so the diaconate, the church leadership, has to take the word of God and apply these standards to us and say, look, this is what God's word says. You see, if you don't teach somebody the word of God, then they're not going to know. They have to be taught. Children go to school because they don't know nothing. They think they do. They have to go to school. And the other thing, the flip side of that, is they have to want to learn. A desire. And the church today needs to have a desire to learn of God, to learn of the Word, that the Word would speak into their lives, that they would learn to hear the very voice of God through His book. That this book speaks, that it becomes amplified within our spirit. That when we read it, it is like the voice of God resonating within us. That today we use the technology of speakers through electrical impulses. It causes a magnet to move backwards and forwards, and there's a diaphragm there, and it compresses the waves, the air waves, and moves them, and it makes a sound. Well, you know, God makes a sound, and He wants us, by the Spirit, He wants to make a sound within us, our spirit. Our spirit needs to be hearing the voice of God through, and this word should resonate within us and cause us to realize that God loves us so much and cares for us. You are not ordinary people. You are special to God. Verse 21 says that, wherefore lay apart all filthiness, all superfluity of naughtiness. That's a word, isn't it? Superfluity. What does it mean? It means this. The Greek word means, it means to, the superfluity is an exceeding measure above the ordinary. In other words, put to one side the filthy, excessive measure of life and of its naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your soul. People just get so full of the things of this world. We can talk from experience of our work that we get involved in with the drug addicts, and they're so full of it. But actually, there's nothing, is there? The truth of it, there's nothing there, and it, which is so sad. And yet they think they've got everything. They think it's great, but they can't see any further than where they're at. And God's saying, you know, church, don't get like that. See beyond where you are. See beyond the things that you have at this time, and begin to allow the word of God to come into you and receive it in meekness. Don't have an attitude when somebody's preaching the word. Listen to it. Wait, it says. The word tells us, test it. Wait, not judge it. Test it. Does it stand up? Analyze it in your own Bible. This is why I say, bring your Bible, bring a notebook. If something that don't quite click with you, make a note. Then go and dig on it. Pray on it. Talk to God about it. Might give you another revelation. You'll hear His voice speaking to you. So important. And so we need to realize that God wants to speak to us. God wants to see us blessed. God wants to move in our lives. But we have to play a part in this. Let's just turn to 2 Corinthians. Chapter 10. And verse. This is just connected with this verse, these verses that we've been reading in James. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Wow, that is powerful. Casting down imaginations. What are these imaginations? According to the meaning of this word imaginations in the Greek was casting down every hostile thought against the gospel of Jesus Christ. Wow, that's powerful, isn't it? And today we have it. People are coming against the gospel of Jesus Christ. Their own imaginations, their own thinking, their own ways of working out life, and this is how it's going to be because we've legalized it. Well, you can legalize all you want, but it does not change the word of God. It doesn't change the word of God. You can legalize what you want, but you will not change the word of God. Jesus said, it is written. And that's it. It's not up for debate. It's a certain and surety. And so God is saying in here, you and I have to cast down these hostile things to the gospel that come into our minds. You can watch TV, you can watch a film, and so often they slide things in that come against the gospel, that mock Jesus, that mock the word of God, that mock Christianity. And if we're not careful, it can take residence. And so you have to begin to deal with that imagination. And the only way you deal with it is by taking it captive with the word of God. Using the word of God. In other words, you brainwash your brain. By the word of God. God knows what brainwashing is. He knew what it was before we even thought about it. God knew that our brains, our soulish man, needed to be washed by the word that was hostile to the relationship with God. So we're to cast down every imagination, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. In other words, everything that exalts itself against having an experiential experience of God. Wow. He's saying to the church, you know, the things of this world are trying to stop you experiencing God. It's trying to convince you that God's not real, that you just have to live by the law and you'll be okay. And the law is the highest thing. Well, no, it's not. And so we are to cast down these imaginations that come against that ability for us to have that personal experience of God in a wonderful way. And so we're to bring every thought into captivity. In other words, every thought a thought, a concept that starts in the mind. A concept that starts in our mind that begins to move us away from God. That begins to say, it's okay to sin, it's okay to do this, it's okay to, it'll be alright, God will forgive you. That's not why Jesus came, just to sort of so that you and I could go and do exactly what we want and then come back to him and say, I'm sorry God, please forgive me because of the blood of Jesus Christ. That is not what it's about. I mean, I no longer believe, and whether you agree with me or not, I really don't care, because I don't no longer believe in once saved, always saved. You see, it's a walk. It's a relationship. You know? That's what it is. You see, we heard earlier on about my friend here and his marriage that failed. But when they got married, they took a vow before God. And you think, well, that's it. You know, that's it. We vowed before God. You see, the devil seeks to get in, to seek, to kill, to destroy, to separate, to split, to divide. He managed it. That's not what God plans for us, you see. But that is a subtlety of the enemy that will seek to come in and to destroy us and to say, it's okay. Don't we know God loves him? We know God wasn't his fault. And I'm not seeking to blame anybody. But we know God loves him, God cares for him, and he's continued to walk with God in spite of the circumstance and the situations. In other words, he's not allowed another thought, another concept to come into his mind and think, well, I can just go and do what I want then, can't I? And it's okay. He's not taking that route. He's taking the route of, well, I'm going to stay faithful to God. And God, in his due course and his due time, will bring things to pass. Praise his wonderful name. So we have to ensure that we are bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Wow. To the obedience of Christ. In other words, what does Christ think about the situation? What would Christ do? What did Christ do? Okay. Then we're created in his image. We're a new creature. We're a new feature. We're made in his image, and therefore we begin that journey and we begin to learn to walk in his footsteps. I think of that Carol Goodkin Wentworth, you know, when the king says to the page, you know, it'll be easier if you step into my footsteps. And it is. And instead of trying to plough your own field, try and make your own way, just step in the same footsteps of the Lord Jesus and follow him. Follow him. Follow him. He says, now we'll make you fishers of men. You know, that he said it. He said, follow me. He called the disciples, follow me, follow me, follow me. And that's the call today. It's not changed. After 2,000 years, it's still the same. Because the word says Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. I do not change. It changes not. It's not about changing. Verse 22, but be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Doers of the word. Doers of the spoken word. Let the word of God be spoken, and be a doer of that spoken word. Don't speak it out like the Pharisees and the Sadducees and say, this is what you must do. And then they go and do something else. I said, but we don't need to do that, you know. Yeah, but we're doing what you're doing. Hello? Yeah. Somebody this week who rang me and they want me to sort out a family problem. Trouble is, I've been doing it for 30 years for them. For the parents. And the parents not done what we taught them from the Word of God to do. But now they want me to teach the child to do what the Word of God says. It's like, excuse me? Are you a living example of what should be done? They don't want to talk to me anymore at the moment. That's okay. Because the same message, the same word I've given for 30 years is still going to be the same message. I'm not going to change because I've got older. I've got more fired up, in fact. I'm worse than what I was before. I'm more passionate, more extreme in my love for Christ. You know, there's that chorus. I keep falling in love with him over and 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 over again. And when you fall in love with somebody, you're crazy. I'm crazy for Jesus. Falling in love with him over and over and over again. Be a doer of the word. Let the word of God cause you to do that. You must do the word. Don't let circumstances, situations, and other things around you in your mind put you off from doing the word of God. Let it be a thing that flows from you powerfully. Verse 23. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man beholding his natural face in a glass. What does that word natural mean? He's like a man who is beholding his genesis, his beginning. That's what he's like. The word of God's saying to us, look at you as you were in the beginning. See what I created. What species are you aware that you are? What are you? What species are you? I was once in darkness, but now I've been set free. Why? Because Christ came into my life. He challenged me and changed me. I submitted to his name and to his authority and made him the Lord of my life. And so the things of this world should grow strangely dim in the light of the love and the glory of his grace and mercy towards each and every one of us. And the power of his presence should be seen in our lives, and the voice should be heard within our ears of Christ speaking to us and flowing through us, and his voice should come forth from our lips into the lives of the men and women, that they would be convicted of their sin and that they would turn from their sin and turn back to the word of God and turn back to Christ and know him as Lord and Saviour. For it says in verse 24, he beholdeth himself and goes away and straightway forgets the manner of man he was. This is the problem today. People forget who they've been created and what they've been created for. They go to church, they have a good time, they go bouncing, bounce out, and everything's great, you know, lovely, praise God, we had a lovely time. Do you feel them goosebumps? They go out and forgot about it. The experience is gone. Now we've got to face the rest of the week. We've had an hour, 2 hours in church, now we've got to face the rest of the week. How am I going to do it? No more blasting the volume, no bass, no flashing lights and smoke machines. It's reality. Reality, where the rubber hits the road. Cream and sweet cakes don't give you enough strength to live the week. You need the meat of the word. The thing is, you've got to chew the meat. You've got to let that word chew over, and you've got to chew it over and spend time in that word, because that is what gives you the strength. You know, we went out the other night and we decided to have a sweet at the end. I think we shared it between three of us because we were that full. And it was like, the cream on top, it was like, what on earth is this? Why would you want this? You know, it's like, scrape it off, please. It was awful. But most people just wanted the church to be light and fluffy, easy, bounced in and out, had a great time, go home. Pastor didn't trouble, I wasn't convicted in any way, so I must be okay between me and God, you know. Really? Did you read your Bible at all? Did you actually talk to God? Did you actually have a conversation with him, because he's real and he's there? Because he came in the garden every day. He says, I want to talk with you. What have you been doing? Well, can't tell you, God. you won't agree with what I've been doing this week, God. So, you know, can you just leave, God? I don't want to talk about it. It's all right. He already knows what you're doing. He saw you do it. You know, when we come and it says, confess your sins to God, it's not that suddenly he's just found out about it. It's suddenly you've just realised that you're a sinner and you've done something wrong and you need to put it right with the Heavenly Father because he's been watching you doing it all the time. Oh, I didn't think you could do that. Yeah, you can. He says his eyes run to and fro throughout all the earth. He knows what's going on. If he can't, how can he then hear everybody's prayer? All at the same time. And answer. Oh, come on, you know. It's not rocket science. But we try and just, we just fuzz over certain things because it suits us. It's okay for me. God don't know, does he? Really? He says, that which you do in the dark, God's already known, seen it. Yeah, they shouted from the housetop. God knows all about it. But God loves you. And God wants you to realize that. And God wants to set you free from that and to bring you out of that. Verse 25. But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continues therein, he will not be a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. This man shall be blessed in his deeds. What does perfect mean? But whosoever looketh into the full-grown adulthood of his life, it means teleos. To be perfect, to be fully formed, to be full grown, to be an adult. That's what it means. And when we look into the perfect law, what is the law? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, he said to us, and Jesus gave us that commandment, love one another as I have loved you. You know, by gum. You look at folk around and think, I can't expect me to love them. But if you don't do it, you've not fulfilled the law. Therefore, you sin. Therefore, you'll end up, you're going to hell. So, even at that, we can't fill the one that Jesus left us. Can we? Thank God for his mercy and his love towards us and his grace. But we still to go towards that. You know, his grace leads us on further and deep, and so it's this deeper relationship. God wants you to continue to abide in him. He says, if any man, verse 26, among you seem to be religious, what a word, religious, seem to be religious, and bridle not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. If any man seem among you seem to be religious, what does that mean? It's an outward show. You're being devout. You know, Jesus said, you know, the Pharisees came in and they brought the money, didn't they? And they made sure everybody heard how much went in. They dropped it from a great height and let everybody see how many coins were going into the offering. You know, ting, 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 ting. And then there's this little old lady. She brings the widow's mite. And she quietly and discreetly puts it in. And they're like, didn't hear much going there, did you? And they start the judgmental attitude. And you said, this woman has given more than any of these. She has given out of that which she has little of. They've given out their abundance, and it's nothing, it's just a drop in the ocean. In other words, that she is given everything. And there's a difference. Are we giving our everything? Are we giving our everything? Or are we just being religious, you know, just going through the motions of it all? You know, Jesus in Matthew 12 and verse 34 says, "You brood of vipers." He's not holding back, is he? "You brood of vipers, how can you speak good things when you are evil? For out of the abundance of the heart, for the mouth speaks." You know, we hear of churches and, well, church ministers who are saying, come out for healing and bring me a gift of £57,000 and God will heal you. Hello? Is that in the book? I missed that bit. What? Which chapter and verse is that? This happens. Not once. At all the church in the Leeds area where this is happening. So, how can this be? Freely have you received, freely give. Healing's not mine, it is Christ. And if God has given me the favour and the gift to lay hands on people and the faith to lay hands on people and people to be healed, then it is freely given. Because I freely receive, it cost me nothing. But why should I profiteer out of something that cost me nothing? Wow. You and I, we need to keep ourselves pure. We need, it says verse 27, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is to this, to visit the fatherless, the widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Visit means to observe, to keep an eye on. To visit these people, to keep an eye on them, to observe them. Unspotted. What does that mean? It means that to be without an internal blemish. So basically he's saying here, you know, if you're talking about pure religion, and the word pure is important, you know, it's not about a man, say Christ Jesus. The pure religion is about the Christ, the Son of the living God. And if he, with that undefiled nature, before God and the Father, so we come and we observe, we keep an eye on, we visit, we care for the fatherless, the widows, in their afflictions. And to keep, and we are to keep ourselves unspotted from the world. In other words, we are to keep ourselves, there's no blemish. And it's not a blemish on the outside, but it's the blemish that is inside that is so important. It's the heart of man that God looks at. Not the outward appearance. We can all put our suits on, great, and love to dress up. We look the part, you know. Not a mark on us. Pressed, everything's pressed. Looking super smart. Not a stain on us outwardly. Can everybody unzip the coat and get the heart out, please? We need to have a look at it. I'm talking to myself as well. God wants us at that place. That at this time, in this age, that we be the men and women, the lights of the world, the ones that are the example, the ones that will stand for that which is true and right and holy, and be right and holy for the glory of the name of Jesus. And I think I'm going to just close with that for tonight. And then we can start on chapter 2 next week. Amen. I hope you've been encouraged and blessed. I hope I've given you some insight. I hope and pray that, you know, I've given you something to chew on and fed you well, and that you will have meat to digest. And if you've got any questions, well, praise God. Hallelujah. The Lord bless you. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the power that is in your word. We thank you for the revelation of who we are through your word, through Christ, who died and rose again. We thank you, Lord, that you're forming a new creature. Lord, you cause us to be made in the image of Christ, a creature that has never existed before. You brought us to birth. Father, we pray that our destiny, Lord, will stay focused through Christ, and that, Lord, our feet will not be stumbling. We shall not fall, but Lord, our feet will be like the feet of the hind, a firm footed, that Lord, we would run through and run through to you and draw close to you, Father. And Lord, we pray that, Lord, we would hear your word speaking into our hearts, speaking into our ears, speaking into our minds, O God, that we might know you in a new way. Father, I pray, Lord, for the gifts, that they will begin to be poured into each and every one of us, O God. And Lord, you would prepare us for the harvest that is about to come. We just ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The Lord bless you and do you good.